There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, my talkers, we made it to 4 o'clock on Wednesday. We're hanging out with Lori and Julia, having some fun, are we not, guys? We got a lot ahead.
I love how you always make it sound like it's such a big deal that we got to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, you know, it's for some people if they're counting the hours, you know.
That's right.
When you want to get home, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and you can crack that drink and sit on your couch and listen to Lori and Julia.
I love it. It just cracks me up always.
Yeah. All right. Well, this cracked me up today. First of all, just big shout out to, we haven't talked to these ladies in quite a while, but Jessica and Heather, the fashion website Go FUG Yourself,
yes,
the GoFundGirls,
yes,
and
yes,
they
yes.
wrote the wonderful the Royal We.
Yes, which we loved.
That book, which was supposed to, remember, that was going to TV series.
Yep, nothing.
Nothing ever happened. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It really did, though, hearing Megan.
Yeah. And anyway, I love following their thing. And anyway, one of the guys, I can't remember if it was Heather or Jessica, they went down the rabbit hole. And there's like 16 photos, and Grant posted them of various outfits that Rod Stewart has been photographed going in and out of, like Heathrow and London and Saint-Tropez, various airports over the last 50 years.
I love it.
It is a glorious way to waste a couple minutes.
At five.
Revel in the hair, the beautiful women.
The sunglasses.
The sunglasses, oh. Rod has continually been a fashion plate. That
he's got
man,
game, for
with
sure.
Great hair and great babes.
He really does. And what I was saying when you were showing me this is I said, this is going to be a bummer because so many big celebs and musicians fly private that we don't see those airport shots like we used to. Remember how much we used to?
Yeah, we really
don't see them anymore.
Well,
I mean, that was such a get. Like, oh my gosh, you never get to see them because they never would do stories on them or anything.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want them.
We always see someone at LAX. You do. Not everybody is flying. No, you'd be surprised, Joy. It is kind of a lot of money, even to fly out of that private thing.
The private thing, I know.
It's people have money, but they don't have that kind of money. A lot of people, I mean, you know, we're going to always see the B, C's, and T's.
There we go.
Regular term.
The EF and G's now.
Right. But anyway, it's a glorious little trip down fashion lane. Geez, I just appreciate Rod Stewart all over again. You know, his sense of style.
Oh, and then fantastic.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill had a rare opportunity, Julia, to be completely bipartisan as they all had everybody, Republican, Democrat, independent, whoever talked about it, they had Ticketmaster on the Hill and basically just scolded the hell out of them using lyrics to Taylor Swift songs. And we've got I think this Savannah from the Today Show reporting.
Of course, we all remember that just 2 months ago, Ticketmaster essentially broke down during the presale for Taylor Swift tickets, leading to a major meltdown from Swifties heard across the internet. Well, all that bad blood culminated in a congressional hearing that left Ticketmaster defending its reputation.
May I suggest respectfully that Ticketmaster ought to look in the mirror and say, I'm the problem. It's me.
Tuesday's hearings might have sounded like a Taylor Swift music video.
I think it's a nightmare dressed like a daydream.
Darling, I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream.
But very real concerns about Ticketmaster and their parent company Live Nation took center stage.
The fact of the matter is that Live Nation, Ticketmaster, is the 800-pound gorilla here. It's a monopolistic mess.
Despite controlling more than 80% of the market share for major concerts, the president and CFO of Live Nation said the ticketing business has never been more competitive and addressed the ticket sale debacle that left Swift and her fans fuming.
We apologize to the fans. We apologize to Ms. Swift. We need to do better.
The company primarily pinned its difficulties on cyber attacks and bot traffic.
This is what led to a terrible consumer experience, which we deeply regret.
Yeah. I mean, are
the
they going to let him
fan
off?
Backlash, shining a spotlight on other concerns.
A lot of this, of course, came about after the Taylor Swift presale.
We're less focused on the specifics of the Taylor Swift situation and more trying to use this opportunity where everybody is aware that there's a lot that's broken about this industry.
The spectacle had TikTokers tuning in.
It allowed us to experience firsthand what the problems with monopolies can feel like.
And senators acknowledging the impact of the Swift faithful.
Clearly it caught the eye of many of my colleagues and made it so that we could push this hearing as soon as possible.
Is that Klobuchar?
Now, Live Nation and Ticketmaster merged 12 years ago, and concerns over the company's combination of concert promotion, venue ownership, and ticket sales have fans, artists, and lawmakers hoping to reshape some of their influence over the music industry.
Yeah, everyone's getting screwed except Ticketmaster, Live Nation.
Yes.
The artists, the venue, and the consumers. And that is absolute BS to say it's never been more competitive.
Well,
never been more competitive with bots and resale things. And then the fact that Ticketmaster, the more you pay for your ticket, the more your fee is. It should be set fee. It's just absolutely highway robbery. It just is highway consumer robbery. And if the government isn't in charge of fixing stuff like that, it feels like fraud.
Think, did it feel, I mean, I didn't watch it.
Well, they were they probably, made a lot of campaign donations, Ticketmaster and Live Nation. The promise was they weren't going to act like a monolithic entity and that they weren't going to choke hold and act like an 8-pound gorilla.
Is this going to end here?
Well, I think they might have to break it up like they've broken up other stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
There's not anyone.
There's a monopoly. No excuse for it. It's a monopoly, and they can't do it any other way. Plus, they own the venues. Everybody's getting screwed.
The Live Nation combo made that the worst thing possible.
And that was 12 years ago. Think how long it's taken, because all of us have just grumbled and complained. But the more money you pay for a ticket, the more money your fee is. It's a sliding structure. I mean, none of it... It feels like the mafia.
Right. And you know what?
It feels like the mafia.
The mafia is happening.
Like we're all having to pay this protection money that we never asked for.
Listen.
But how about the funny thing with the songs?
I absolutely love that. I love that.
And then Captain Obvious. We know this caused problems and we want to do our best to fix it. Thank you, Captain. Yeah, the guy worked at Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, feel cleansed, look at Rod Stewart. That'll get you all happy again.
There you go. We've got random thoughts in a second. All right, everybody. David Lozinski and First Equity are just champions of you guys. Of individuals, making sure that you get the right mortgage that fits your needs, and also giving you advice on when is the right time, what to buy, what do you need to get ready for. Rents are just so exorbitant, and maybe you never thought before you had a chance to be a first-time homeowner. Call them and find out. And here is William's review of Torben. Torben was excellent, great communication. So glad I refinanced with Torben. They were great. David was amazing, so helpful, and responded quickly to any questions we have. We got the best loan. Everything went great. Thank you, Jim and Dee. I mean, this is just, we get so many fun testimonials from all of you. Thank you for supporting First Equity. They're here in our community, and they will do the right thing for you. They're wonderful.
I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Okay, this is just such a blast from the 14-year-ago past.
Okay.
When I say the name Nadia Suleiman, what do I mean?
Octomom.
And boy, her how old are those kids now? 14 years old. Doesn't that, I mean, this Grant.
Wow. I remember. Oh,
that story was unbelievable. So happy 14th to her.
Happy 14th.
Eight kids. Mm-hmm. Also, I just want to give a shout out to Let's Dish. You know, Darcy was, when she first started her store, she's, I think they have four or five locations in the Twin Cities. But if you need, you know, you've got someone who needs pre-made meals. They have such great things there, and you can either go online or go into the store. And I went to the Woodbury location today, and they've got meals down for just three people.
Yeah,
so they're not all ginormous. So they have three and six servings.
Those are key scenarios by the three.
Yeah.
Person.
So anyway, just want to give. That's just a great resource if you're looking for giving meals to someone who's in need.
Yeah.
Let's see, I just want to go back to Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne, who were on Jimmy Kimmel last night after Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Mm-hmm. And Rose Byrne grew up in Australia, and the number one show in Australia was Seinfeld. Forever.
Wow.
Forever. And she'd never met either of him. Had met. So they met Julia Louis
backstage.
Dreyfus in the green room.
Oh, wow.
And she was just, she said, I just fangirled. Yeah. Fangirled.
And she looked so cute in that pink dress. They were like on a date night.
They looked darling, these two who are married. And they.
I don't know that they are married, though.
Oh, you're right. They might not be Lori, but they've
have
got two
a
boys.
Kids and they've got a rocker. They've been together a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Watcher. And I just will watch him in anything. I love him.
He's beautiful.
He was on Rescue Me way back in the day.
Yes, he was. Good and call Rose Byrne, on that.
Rose Byrne from Damages. I mean,
oh, that's how we first met her. She was fantastic.
You know,
in
sometimes
that show.
You think of like old shows that were so good, like
that was
Scandal.
One of the first shows on FX that was a huge hit was Damages.
It's so good with Glenn Close and Rose Byrne. That was just phenomenal.
And it wouldn't go out of style because it's about legal corruption, you know, all those things that never go out of style.
Never goes out of style. And never. William Hurt was on it.
Yes.
And, you know, I went back over the holiday. I don't know if I told you guys this. I watched the Madoff.
Oh, yeah.
Updated Madoff thing on Netflix.
I've heard great things.
Lori. Good. We were obsessed with this. Remember?
Oh, yeah, we
had the brown paper bag lady on the people who lost all their money from it.
Yes.
But looking at it now, 15 years later, whatever it is, 10 years later.
It's amazing how easy it is to con people. If you look the part, act the part, name drop enough. It's unbelievable.
And how tragic it was for the people in the funds, but also for his children who had nothing to do with
gosh.
It.
Yeah.
And they both are dead. And the mom is still alive.
Yeah.
That Madoff thing works. It's like four parts on Netflix. Yeah. It's so good. Okay. Other things that are happening is you can get the new Fenty Rihanna Game Day Essentials in her Super Bowl collection. So she's come out with a limited lipstick.
Nice.
On one side, it looks like a football. She's got a little bag that's clear that you can bring to games. Mm-hmm. She's got a Super Bowl shape, a football shaped sponge.
Great idea.
I know it. And it would be kind of a fun gift
how
to give someone.
It?
It is
35.
Yeah, 50, it doesn't even say. Doesn't even
75,
say.
Who knows?
It's available, but it's the Fenty Super Bowl collection.
Okay.
Collection. Other things that are happening is that Minnesota, Oregon, Iowa, Kansas, and North Dakota have something in common.
Which is?
These are the five fastest talking states. This blows me away because you would think it would be East Coast states because they seem to talk so fast over there. Boston, New York.
Yeah.
It is Minnesota's number one.
Wow.
Oregon.
Wow.
Iowa,
wow.
Kansas, and North Dakota. So three of them in the Midwest.
It must be the that old Scandahoovian, you know, that's what it sounds like. We're singing up and down, up and down, and people can't follow it.
Yes.
I don't know. This came across today, The Machine. And you know how we've heard of quiet quitting?
Yeah.
You know, where you just kind of don't do anything you don't want to do. The latest is rage applying.
Oh, no.
I know. Fine. If you need a new word, All right.
Quiet quitting is just
not doing your job.
And I mean, waiting to see if you get fired, if anyone will notice. That to me is quiet quitting.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah. People are will skate.
Right. And this really is so funny that this applying for as many jobs.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Jobs as Possible now has a title called Rage Applying. I just call that looking for a job.
You're right, right.
But now it has a title.
Right. But who's going to use the title? Not me. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that quietly quitting has never come out of my mouth before today.
ever.
I mean, just like me, you've not even really, we've talked about it in the double wide. We're like, everything's got to have a name
and a title.
And it used to just be I remember having a couple of jobs and I was like, I hope they fire me. I hope they understand that I'm not doing my job. I'm having as much fun as possible. And I was on an expense account.
I've never had that feeling.
Traveling.
Once. I've never had that. I hope they fire me.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't really even care, you know, because I was having fun. I was on an expense. I thought, I wonder if they're going to catch on that I'm really not doing anything.
You're so funny. Lori, you always did something. You always met your quotas and everything.
Well, yeah, I know I did.
Don't dismiss yourself because you did, but you didn't like the jobs.
It wasn't that. No choice. I couldn't believe I was getting paid to go to all these cities and stay at fancy hotels and go out to dinner and drinks.
You brought in the clients. I mean, this is what we did. That's how business used to be done.
Yeah, I guess.
I loved it and miss it.
Same.
Miss it.
Excessively.
Grant.
I'm glad Grant I got sold. To do it. I was so good at it.
Oh, yeah. It's
I learned it's how to skill. Golf for business that's, because there were so many scrambles.
Well, that's why.
Oh, yeah. I'm excellent on a scramble. I am a good scramble person because I
need to be.
I'm very good with the putter, Grant. Yep. Very, very good with the putter. And I am very good with that little...
The chipper. Yeah, yes. So you'd be considered a ringer then, yes.
Yeah, and I'm good on a 3-par with my big 1-wood. And
you're right. a lot of business is done on the golf course, and that is exactly why.
Well, in the travel, there were always hospitality scrambles being hosted by somebody. And
so
it was
fun.
I went and took lessons with my girlfriend, JJ, at Meadowbrook.
Yeah.
And the guy, I was like 30 years old, and he had the golf club on my head. And just yelled at us for like 6 weeks straight about, you know.
Yeah.
He was kind of a drill sergeant.
Well, they kind of have to be.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I prefer that than people who sit and talk about themselves and then teach you something and then talk about themselves forever.
Oh, yeah. No, he really, I felt like I knew. And I remember we told him we are golfing for work, not for fun. We need to golf with guys. And we just need to be a good scramble player.
Business leagues kept our golf course alive in its last 7 years. Cargo Women's League, thank you very much. They were out there. The business women's leagues and senior men's leagues kept us alive.
Yeah.
And my grandpa got into the golf business because of all the business he did with Tonka Toys overseas. And they did so much business on the golf course there. That's why he brought the golf courses up to
mom. Do you remember our little golf league? I don't think you did it very much.
I did.
Shamrock up in Corcoran.
Shamrock. I love that flat course.
Is it still open?
Yes, Shamrock is still open.
I'm so glad. That was beautiful.
And I had my own golf league at Presswick.
Yes, you did.
Which I certainly loved.
Yes.
Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. Now, Ann, we've heard that January has one of the highest rates for divorce filings than any other month of the year. And I'm wondering, is this because of the holidays, because of the new year starting? What's the deal?
I think it really is affected by the holidays. I think a lot of people who are at a difficult point in their life try to maintain status quo for the sake of the children and the family during the holidays. They get through it and they kind of say, this is kind of my last straw. I need to move on. And again, you have your New Year's resolutions. And it's the idea that now I can make those changes I need to and make a fresh start in my life.
And if some of our people listening are thinking about divorce, what should their next steps be?
Well, I really encourage people to start educating themselves. Start really gathering information and knowledge of their financial circumstances. A lot of people rely on the spouse to take care of it. Start educating yourself on that to be prepared. It'll also be more cost effective during the divorce proceeding.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Okay. I was very excited to see this this afternoon or late morning when it was posted. So we have talked about the author Taylor Jenkins Reid since I went on vacation. I swear it was like 8 years ago, going to Hawaii. And I picked up, based on the beautiful cover, the trade paperback, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yep.
And that got us going because it's this amazing cover, this woman in the screen. And we have been fans, and I think we've had her on our show once.
I'm looking at the book covers.
I swear we had her on for Daisy Jones and the Six.
I don't think we did.
We'd have to go back and look.
That would be very hard to do. But yeah, we read.
But
we love
did have her on once. Donnie managed to get her on once, and I just don't know.
I think it could have even been The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, because I have the hardback book.
Maybe it was.
And I wouldn't have bought that.
Yeah, it was, because book had come out like maybe 9 months or something before that. So anyway, we've never had her on again, and she just became like a huge successful author. Malibu Rising, Daisy Jones and the Six, which when that came out, that became just a Reese Witherspoon snatched it up. Hello Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that the filming on this was going to start like April of 2020.
Yeah.
And we had always known that Riley Keough was cast as Daisy Jones.
Is that how you
Jones.
Say it instead of Riley Keough?
Keough.
Oh, I thought you said Keough.
Keough. Keough. You do say O on the end. Keough.
Okay.
Was cast, and that's Lisa Marie Presley's daughter, Priscilla and Elvis's granddaughter. And it got, you know, nothing was happening with this because, you know, then we had COVID and everything, and we were like really hoping, because so many shows that were supposed to start filming.
Yes.
They just went away.
Yes, they did.
Those things just went away. We're like, oh, this is going to be too good. Well, we've seen stills from that. We saw street scenes like in LA and New York of Riley and some of the, because remember, this is a very female centric story about the four women.
Yes.
The main character is Daisy, played by Riley. And we finally got a trailer. Daisy Jones and the Six have arrived. This trailer looks so good.
It really does.
We were praying. We hoped it would be good. It was a lot of, the delay and everything. But this trailer told us exactly what we should get excited about. It just was so, I thought it was so compelling. And of course, it's heavy on Riley because that's the point. But it's just accepting she is the thing, and we're going to, it just looks so good.
Okay, can I just tell you something? When does it start, Lori?
Okay, so this is going to air on Amazon on March 3rd, I believe is what it is.
Okay.
So I think it's a 10-episode series. That's what they've done with the book, and I think that is absolutely perfect. And Reese Witherspoon, like I said, is producing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of time in the editing room to get the story right and everything. But I mean, it's the earth tone 70s. It's screaming fans. I love the era of the 70s,
yes,
you know.
Do. Okay, so I got to tell you something. So recently, March 3rd, this is going to start.
Yeah.
I read Karen Soto is Back, and that came out last year. And
oh, that's
wonderful.
Taylor's other book about tennis. That was great.
I've been misled because someone led me to believe on this app that another new book of hers was out, and it's called After I Do. Mm. Now I'm just looking up her books. It came out in 2014, and I'm pissed. I paid full price.
Oh, no.
But I do want to say something about that book. Don't.
What?
Don't read it.
The 2014 one?
Yeah, After I Do. It's just such a drag.
Well, I mean, you know, just read from Evelyn Hugo and forward. That's what I say.
I think you're right, Lori. Because I
also liked her Malibu Rising.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was a good story.
She's
too.
Great. She's great.
But anyway, take a look at Daisy Jones and the Six. I mean, I just really hear Riley, you know, new mom, and then her mom just died, and she probably was like, really. Because it is ironic to look at Riley Keough playing this you know, goes from nobody to being a superstar in the 70s. Yeah.
It's kind of like her grandfather.
Yeah. So this was all, this trailer was always going to drop today. And then, bang, you guys, SNL on Saturday night. It was the first SNL of 2023. It tied with Dave Chappelle's 4.8 after the election in 2020.
It was that good. Well, and everyone loves her.
Everyone,
and White Lotus, she's so hot.
Aubrey has a lot of fans of reasons.
Oh, Parks and Rec.
Yes.
She is a great, just, that's like who she is.
Yeah.
You know,
and
sketch
think about
comedy.
It. The only sketch she wasn't in was the Black Lotus.
Yes.
And she brought all her, the White Lotus fans, and that skit was so, so good. And I never really understood why the Property Brothers and Tony Hawk played in, but I mean, you know, the mighty sexy Sharon Stone, Tracy, like you said, Tracy Poehler rolling in as character, but
Amy Poehler, Tracy's cousin.
Yeah, Tracy's cousin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Aubrey really brought it. I hope her agent is getting more money for everything
she's
doing.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Well, tonight there's a new thing that's premiering on Hulu that sounds kind of fun. And it's a British comedy, and it's called Extraordinary. And it's a show about, it's got young people with superpowers could leave you cold, but it's a cheeky comedy twist about one young woman in London who lacks a special superpower. So everybody gets a superpower when they turn 18, mm-hmm. but she's 25 and she still doesn't have it.
One.
And it's supposed to be extremely funny. And it's called Extraordinary, and it's on Hulu. So it premieres tonight.
You're taking a page from your Extraordinary Attorney Woo.
Oh,
I love
that.
Nice. I still love that.
Did you
show.
Finish The Glory?
Yes.
How about that? Now, that show is coming back. They filmed that back to back. So it's coming back like March 23rd.
I've started a new Revenge. One, but I can't remember the name of. I'm into these K dramas.
Yeah. Oh, I love the K dramas. I watched Accused, the two episodes back to back.
That Grant watched.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So good.
I know, right? And I have not seen, because the new one was on last night.
It was so good. Yeah. It was directed by Marley Matlin, or as Julia likes to call
Marley Matan.
Marley Matan. and it was about, you know, it was about surrogacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a deaf child and all the acting. It was closed caption. It was, and Marley, it was, but that show and the first one, Michael Chiklis.
Oh, the first one was dark, but really, really good. You know, like his intuition of what he was suspecting. And
so you see the accused and the crime, or what you think you know, kind of gets told in flashbacks. So it's sort of Law and Order, but in a different direction.
Different order.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
But
do you
anyway,
start from the ending and go back to the beginning, kind of?
I don't know. It's just once a week on Fox.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Chiklis and Jill Hennessy were in the first episode. Then the second episode.
And the first one, they didn't really. It's the crime hadn't been committed.
Done.
Yeah, it's one and done. But the crime hadn't been committed, but they lead you to believe that something is going to. And then they give you all of these ideas as to why it could happen.
Yeah.
And
oh
very, very shocking. Very good.
Yeah, and then with everything that's going on in the real world with the mass shootings and
that's
stuff.
That's why
that
first episode really hit hard, did it not? I mean, it really applied
did.
To what we're going through currently.
Right.
It kind of gave you know, just a different visual than what we've had to look at in the news, kind of on a TV show.
I just thought it was a terrific show.
It's good.
I love that.
Yeah, you got to check it. You'd like it. Check it out. It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, and then I never would have thought, you know, we'd see the day that Paris Hilton became a mom.
Ah, yes. Just, congrats.
I wonder, you know, if the DJ has got to be getting cut back. All that DJ stuff.
Oh, of course she is, Lori.
She's got a baby boy, even though she just told us a few weeks ago that she had a few pandemic embryos on ice. A baby was born via a surrogate. I'm sure Kim Kardashian told her, you know, consulted with her. And there's a little tiny baby hand for proof.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for, I mean, this woman was the hardest working woman. I mean, she was the beginning of that's hot.
You know what? Okay.
I like her.
Can I just bring up something, though, that something potentially awkward?
Okay.
That is awkward.
Okay.
It's the is that Carter
her
has
husband,
a 10-year-old daughter with this gal who was a short-lived reality show star on a show that I watched called Secrets of Aspen. And they have a daughter together that he pays money.
Of course, it's his daughter.
But the,
he doesn't have a relationship with her.
He doesn't have a relationship with her.
Which I think is so odd.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
Well, I feel
and I just wonder, like, what Paris have agreed. Like, Paris, I could see her magically pretending that this girl doesn't exist.
Well, her husband does.
Yeah, right.
I mean, right. She's following his lead.
Right.
I think that would be extremely, you know, we talk about he's Amy
seen
Roberts.
Her once since she was born.
Yeah, that's. And we don't know the circumstances.
No, we don't.
It could have been she could have trapped him. I mean, you don't know anything. And he said, fine, have the baby and I'll pay. But I don't like you. I mean, you do not know. But at the end of the day, I bet that turns around somehow, some way.
Because I hope she doesn't name him Sliving or anything, which she's tried to make that happen for several years now.
Sliving? Like, what is Sliving?
Slaying and living.
Oh, Sliving?
No,
she won't.
She has seriously been hashtagging Sliving. Grant, back me up here. For several years, she's tried to make Sliving a thing like that.
Couldn't
hot.
She make it be like some takeoff
of Hilton?
Sliving
doesn't even feel good slithering out of your tongue.
No. Wouldn't it be a takeoff of Hilton, like Hilty or...
Archibald? Oh, what if she names him Conrad?
Oh,
after her grandfather.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a family name.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Paris.
Oh,
you now okay. You're now the oldest mom in the group with the youngest baby.
The oldest mom.
No, I'm just telling her that she's got to get used to that. You know, that the other 41-year-olds, their children are now like 10, 9, 8.
She's going to be the older mom.
She's going to.
That isn't even old.
I'm just saying.
That is not even.
She will feel as old as her big feet just to stay at the
size 14. Size 14. You're so.
By the way, Sliving made it to the Urban Dictionary.
It's there. But I never hear anyone. I'm just like, please don't name this kid Sliving.
It's a dumb name. I don't want to slip.
Slain and living. Sliving. You were Sliving.
I am not Sliving. It sounds gross. It sounds like a booger.
Okay.
I've got a Sliving booger.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a Hollywood speak. And we have a good one, Lori. Something that you've been calling forever. And it's true.
Okay.
Lori and Julia here. We know it's January, and if you're like us, you might want to look at brightening things up. And at Chanhassen Dinner Theater, there's a great choice. There's literally something for everyone. Coming to the main stage on February 10th is the Tony Award-winning musical comedy, The Prom.
And Chanhassen does the big splashy shows so well. And this is a brand new one, fresh off Broadway. Chris Hewitt saw this on Broadway in March of 2019. And he said, this is the most fun. He said,
I can't
it's
wait.
Wonderful. It's based on a true story. It's contemporary. It's super funny. Great music, great dancing. And it's also a very touching story of acceptance and kindness.
The Prom. We're going to be at opening night. I can't wait. Love Letters with Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson. They're back for 8 shows in February. They're wonderful. And also, they have great tribute concerts. Alabama,
yes,
Dave Matthews Band, and Stevie Ray Comedies every weekend. For tickets, visit ChanhassenDT.com.
What is the meaning of this?
Okay, Lori. This is Chelsea Handler saying she didn't realize she was taking Ozempic.
Ozempic. The diabetes drug?
Yeah, the diabetes weight loss drug. She didn't realize she was taking it.
It's a diabetic medication that's been found to cause weight loss.
Yes. And so she says, my anti-aging doctor just hands it out to anybody, right? Obviously, now I can't say her name, but I didn't even know I was on it. She said that her doctor said the medication was good if she wanted to drop 5 pounds.
Who doesn't want to drop 5 pounds?
At the time, she knew she was taking semaglutide, which is another name for Ozempic.
So that's why people can say they're not on Ozempic. They're taking the off-brand.
She had no idea until a friend enlightened her.
Oh, my gosh.
She says, I came back from my vacation. I injected myself with it because you have to give yourself a shot like a diabetic. I went to lunch with a girlfriend a few days later, and she was like, I'm not really eating anything. I'm so nauseous. I'm on Ozempic. And Chelsea says, I was like, I'm kind of nauseous, too. But I had just come back from Spain, and I thought I was jet lag. I'd been there for like a month, white privilege, she goes on to say, but she just went on to say that
she had no idea that she was on it.
No idea.
What did she think she was giving herself injections for?
Like Sagamuggle attitude.
Oh, like for some kind of like a vitamin B12 thing.
No, but she said she knew it was a weight loss thing, but it didn't. She never knew it was diabetic thing. She never knew it was Ozempic.
Oh my gosh!
And she described the medication as a miracle. That's too good to be true.
Because you have diarrhea the whole time you have it?
And then she goes, I'm not on it anymore. That's too irresponsible. I'm a responsible drug user, but I'm not going to take a diabetic drug.
Yeah.
So anyway, she just basically said.
We might be really shocked when we go to Hollywood this weekend, Julia, and see all these skinny people. They're even thinner than before.
Rosie O'Donnell might be on it. My appetite has decreased significantly. It's probably the meds. And I'm trying to move more.
Oh. I wish they'd have a show with Joan Sunday, her character on American Gigolo, Rosie O'Donnell's character.
I never even finished that.
Oh, you did, but she was the best. She was the Joan best. Sunday, Detective Joan Sunday, right?
She was a BA in that. She was really badass.
She was.
Well, this is how we found out about Botox. It was used for other things. This is how we found out about Latisse for our eyelashes growing because they used it as a drug for your eyes. Right. I mean, it's kind of funny. This is how they found out about Viagra.
Yeah.
You know, it was a heart drug, and then it gave people boners, more blood flow.
Right.
So this is how new drugs are kind of.
So do you think they're going to try and get this be an FDA weight loss? But
I don't know.
This seems like.
I don't want to give myself shots.
Yeah, I don't want to give myself shots.
Unless it's for fertility or something
important. And I already have a bubbly stomach enough as it is.
Oh, you couldn't handle this. A gal who would love to drop 5 pounds like that, I refuse. I won't go on this.
Lauren Sanchez is giving an interview where she
Jeff Bezos' gal?
Yes, Jeff Bezos, the side piece, who's a longtime girlfriend now. She's giving an interview and she talked about how she was almost hired for The View.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
What year?
Barbara was still there.
Okay, back in the day.
Back in the day, and someone didn't like her. But the thing that I went forward to was in her interview where she told, and it's the Wall Street Journal magazine that she's given the interview. She said, on a typical Saturday, we're just hanging out. You know, we're having dinner with the kids. We're like the Brady Bunch.
With a ton of money. We're like the Brady Bunch with so much money.
Right.
We are the Brady Bunch on steroids. Because Carol, what was the name of the dad?
Is the side piece? Because the whole point of the Brady Bunch is it's two people come together
with their families.
Right, but they've been widowed.
Whatever, Lori.
I'm just saying.
It's 2023.
I know, but I'm just saying that sometimes, remember, everybody's kids were older. At least Bezos' kids were like in high school and college.
I think hers were younger. I think she's younger.
Yeah, I know she is. I'm just saying that if you want to get technical, that Carol.
Apparently you do.
They were widowed.
And Carol didn't work.
Yeah.
Outside of the home.
That's right. Anyway.
What's her name?
Like the Brady Bunch. I'm sure that people were spitting in their coffee.
How about the fact that, let's revisit the fact that her brother turned in the pictures of Jeff Bezos' sold them to the National Enquirer. Yeah. That was
Hollywood.
That was scandalous.
Is a dirty town of, you know, like people turn on each other.
Family members.
I know, but like he was in a Hollywood business and I mean, she was in the Hollywood business.
I know. She flew helicopters. It's just
hashtag
cool.
Who's Larkus?
Larkin Sorkin. Paris, I have no idea.
Larsa Pippen and Michael Jordan's son, Marcus. Is that Larkus?
Okay.
Anyway, she dragged him on into their Instagram official. And
this feels so ishy because Larsa Pippen was married to Scottie Pippen, who was a teammate of Michael Jordan. Those two had beef.
Well, they had beef over the 2020 ESPN docuseries, The Last Dance.
But I think, Grant, didn't they have beef before that?
Not
when they were teammates.
They were good teammates. They were friends, but they weren't, you know, the best of friends because all the attention went to Michael. And that has gotten worse, like you said, over the years. And since The Last Dance documentary, it got worse. And now this is the icing on the cake.
Documentary. She poses in front of Michael Jordan a flower jersey and says checks over stripes as she's there got her arms around
his son. Oh, weird.
And says, and checks is the Nike and Adidas, you know, it's Nike Adidas.
Stripes.
Oh.
That's what the reference is.
Checks and versus stripes. Stripes. Adidas has the three stripes in the logo.
It's a huge bleep you to Scotty, which she always, you know, anyone who watches The Real Housewife of Miami,
you know, she
knows what a horrible person is. And she blatantly lies about her Brazilian butt lift. I mean, there is, she looks nothing like the woman she looked like even 5 years ago. I mean, she's just, I hate when someone is so obviously surgical.
And they don't admit to their surgeries.
And they don't admit it. Like, we've got eyes, Larsa. And she now, she's just so full of lies. Because, you know, she began dating Scotty in 95, married him in 97. You cannot tell me there were not Chicago family, you know, dinners or the Sunday things where they, the families didn't get together. He's so much younger than she is. He's 32 and she's 48.
I love how outraged you are by this one.
Well, it's disgusting.
Because it feels like she's doing it on purpose. All exactly. The wrong reasons.
To get back at her ex-husband and maybe to get...
Just like her affair with Malik Beasley. She had a thing with Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm.
What do these people see in her, Grant?
I mean, she's beautiful in a sense. She's a beautiful woman. Yeah. I don't know her as a person.
Oh, she's,
but what I've heard from you and seen from TV,
she's a genuinely terrible person.
That's what I was going to say. She seems like a terrible person, but beautiful to look at.
But she really isn't, because it's just like, it's...
I don't know how a young man, like, if I were Michael Jordan's son, Lucas, how I could sit there and knowing that my dad's friend, teammate, this has to be a revenge factor from one of them. Yeah. There's got to be a revenge factor from one party here.
Yeah,
absolutely. Her.
It's her. She's genuinely terrible.
you're so funny. Oh my gosh, you're so funny.
I mean, she's posing.
I know.
That's what she uses for Instagram. Well,
checks versus stripes is a complete arrogant comment because it's, you're going Jordan versus Pippen. I mean, it's just a childish way to even express your allegiance to one side of this so-called relationship. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Well, people like me, if I was looking at it, I'd have no idea what a check and a stripe meant in that. And I would just say,
I'm glad
whatever.
We had Grant to help us Hollywood sports speak.
Yeah, a little.
Accidental
sports.
And
I'm just telling you, as someone who's watched every episode of Miami, and I've talked about this with Brittany, Larsa is a genuinely terrible person.
Shame.
I'm telling you.
Oh, gosh. I think we're giving away Madonna tickets next hour. Stay with us.